Now we're looking at worthy motives and unworthy motives, and Peter has said, shepherd the flock of God, but don't do it because you're forced. You have to do this. And he says, you are, according to God's standard, you're to do it willingly, freely from your heart, because you want to do this. And then he says, the second unworthy motive was for a shameful gain, just because you can get something for yourself or get access to other people's money or even people's lives. But you're to be eager, enthusiastic about this. It's just, you're driven by a passion to do this. Now, the third unworthy motive, and the most subtle of the three, is that of domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. This is far more widespread than you realize. There is the desire to control people, to be in a position of leadership, to be the one who gets status and authority over people. And sometimes this can be very sick. In fact, in the little tiny epistle of 3 John, we read about a man named Diotrephes, who the Bible says he liked to be in the first place, and he excommunicates people that disagree with him, and he controls and he dominates people out of fear and guilt. You look that up. That's a very important passage of Scripture. We are not to be like Diotrephes. We're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Greek and Roman way of thinking, that's what leadership was. It was dominating, lording it over other people. Status, authority, power, prestige, titles, all these things were very much prized by the Greco-Roman culture. But can I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels reversed all that? He turned the pyramid on its head. And Luke 22, 22, the Lord Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. He said, if you are truly great, if you are a good leader, you will be one who serves other people. You will be a slave to others. Now, what did he mean by that? That could be easily misunderstood, such as don't seek leadership or you don't have authority. No, it doesn't mean that. He's talking about a style of leadership. He says the kind of leadership that should characterize my leaders, my shepherds, is a leadership that is other people oriented, not self-oriented. It's a humble form of leadership. It's a kind of leadership that you are concerned about building up and promoting others and advancing others, not just looking at yourself. It's Philippians 2 leadership. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ, humility, servanthood. So it's other-oriented leadership, not self-oriented. In fact, our Lord taught that you will actually give up your life for others. You will serve others. Your leadership is a servant leadership. And so when you are leading people and teaching people and guiding people and counseling people, you're serving them as a servant leader. That's what it means. That is the kind of leadership. And so it is not this heavy-handed kind of rule. And let me tell you that if a leader creates fear and guilt in people, people will never flourish and they'll never grow the way they should grow. Sam Storms gives a series of statements because this can be so subtle, what it's like. Here's the different kinds of ways we can domineer over people, those allotted to our charge. Here's what Sam Storms writes. A pastor domineers when he uses the sheer force of his personality to overwhelm others and to coerce others into submission. Use people like puppets and just force your will upon others. Force your conscience upon their conscience. A pastor domineers whenever he presents himself as a super spiritual person who gets messages from God. How could you know anything? I get this from God. I've been to seminary for 8 years. I have higher degrees than you. A pastor domineers whenever he gains a following and support against all dissenters by guaranteeing those who stand with him will be rewarded. Those who do not, they will be removed from leadership. He domineers by building into people a greater loyalty to himself than to God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, who got all mixed up about this kind of servant leadership. 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says this, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? Their message is all about another person, Jesus Christ. That's the kind of Christian servant leadership. We point people to Christ, not to ourselves. ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's the word for slaves. So he says, our ministry is to point people to Christ. We're just your slaves for Jesus' sake. We proclaim Jesus as Lord. He's Lord. We're not Lord. We're not lords. We are servants at best. So let us not build into people devotion to us, but let's point them to Christ in total devotion to Christ. And let's challenge them and say, if we're wrong, we need you to challenge us. We don't know everything. We need your wisdom and we need your help. We're a family. Sam Storms goes on to say this, he dominates by short-circuiting due process, by shutting down dialogue and discussion prematurely, by not giving all concern an opportunity to voice their opinion or their dissent. He domineers by establishing inviolable barriers between himself and the sheep. He does this by putting the staff out in front or removing himself from people. You can't get to him. And then lastly, and this goes along with our whole website here, he domineers people by creating a governmental structure in which the senior pastor is accountable to no one, or he's accountable only to his family or his close friends or the puppets he puts in place. Oh, there's so many subtle ways that we try to control people and create this atmosphere of you have to come to me for everything and guilt. People will not prosper and grow in that atmosphere. No, servant leadership is promoting others and helping others, being transparent and being willing to listen, to be willing to be criticized, and it hurts. It does hurt. And the people can be very malicious about their criticism, but to be open to that because we're servant leadership, servant leaders. Now, he says, we're not to domineer those in your charge, and by that he means those allotted or assigned to us. In other words, they've been given to us by the Lord. That's why we can't dominate over them. We didn't earn them. They're not ours. They're the Lord's. And so they have been given to us, and we are to lead them in the Christ-like way, the servant way. The example is Jesus. And so he closes this section with this beautiful conclusion. He says this, as examples to the flock. Do not miss this. We do not have a heavy-handed, down, rule-on kind of leadership. Not in the family of God, not in the church if we understand what the church is. It's not Ford Motor Company, it's not the military, it is the people of God, the assembly of God, the household of God, a pillar and buttress of truth. It's a different style of leadership. By example to the flock. And this is powerful because in the end, what influences people is not a badge that says, I'm the bishop, I'm the priest, I'm the elder, I'm the pastor. That only carries you so far. It is human example that is so powerful to influence the mind and the heart of the next generation. And so we are to be examples to the flock. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, much of it is biography? The life of Abraham. Think of how many chapters with Abraham and the life of Joseph and Jacob and the life of David. 66 chapters about David. The life of Daniel. The life of Jeremiah. The life of Christ, four Gospels. Much of the New Testament is the life of Paul. God teaches us through role modeling. That's how we learn most things. We watch our parents and we copy. We copy people more than we realize. Now, you know, many people don't care to read. It's hard to read. How do they learn? They learn by watching, by modeling. That's why the Apostle Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me because I'm following Christ. As a leader, you should be able to point to people and say to people, follow me, watch me, look at my example. That's the most powerful thing of all. Your lifestyle, your testimony, your character, not even all your skills. It's good to have good skills, good people skills and management skills and teaching skills. Those are good things. But ultimately, it's your character, it's your person that influences people for eternity. This is great advice, and it's true to life. Be examples to the flock. They'll really follow you. You're the one who will have an influence for a lifetime on people. When the people see you as an elder, they say, that man loves to worship. That man loves to sing the praises of the Lord. He's right up front singing and praising God when the music goes. And he loves to get up and pray, and he loves to worship the Lord through praise. And he's generous with his money and giving. And he's got a deep heart for the suffering people. And he sacrifices himself. He's always there, and he's early there, and he's greeting. He's looking out for people. You know what? After a while, people get the message, and they say, well, that's what a Christian is. And may I remind you, an elder isn't a super Christian. An elder is a mature Christian. He has all the qualities of a mature Christian. You should have all these qualities too. So when you look at an elder and the elder's qualification as example, you should strive for that. You may never be an elder, but you strive to be that kind of believer. And so may I say to you today that one of the most powerful tools you have is yourself, your example. And never forget this. People are watching you. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. Your parents are watching you. The flock is watching you. You are being watched. You may not know this, but it's happening. And you are an example. And people will follow you. You know, leadership, Oswald Sander says, is influence. Leadership is influence. Whoever you are influencing, you're the one leading. If you're not influencing people, you're not leading. You can have all the titles you want, elder, priest, bishop, whatever you want. If no one's following you, you're not a leader. Leadership is influence. As you influence people, people follow. They become like you. We become like Christ. So Paul says, follow me, watch me, follow what I do, because I'm watching Christ and following Christ. Now, if you look through the epistle of 1 Peter, you will notice that Peter has been given us some very important teaching. He has told us to be humble. He has told us to submit one to another and to submit to government. And he's told us, he has a real emphasis on love, because whenever persecution comes and pressure comes on the church, we usually turn on one another. It's very hard to live as a loving, submissive community. Now, how is the church going to be humble and submissive and loving if the leaders are domineering and they're the control freaks and they got to have it their way and they want to throw fear and guilt into people, manipulate people? Well, that's the kind of congregation you're going to have. No, if we're going to be the kind of congregation that Peter has been speaking about throughout the whole letter, then we elders, we shepherds, we have to have that example. We have to show we submit to government. We have to show in our marriages what kind of husbands we are. 1 Peter chapter 3. In fact, Peter says, hey, we will not even listen to your prayers if you do not treat your wife properly. As a Christian husband, live with her with understanding. We're models. And people are watching. And we're to have the kind of church that Peter is calling for. We have to model it. So, my dear friends, be examples to the flock. People are watching and they're following. Be a good example, not a bad example. Be a Christ-like example. That's what we've been called to. And that's the best way to shepherd the Lord's people. It's God's way. Do it His way.